Let us now turn together to our scripture reading from the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, and we'll be reading this morning the verses 13 through 25. I do want you to take note of that little parallel structure outline I inserted in your bulletins. I'll be referring to that at some point in the sermon, and you might want to try to have that handy also. 1 Kings chapter 2, I'll be reading the verses 13 through 25, verses 13 through 25. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. Bathsheba asked him, "Do you come peacefully?" He answered, "Yes, peacefully." Then he added, "I have something to say to you." "You may say it," she replied. "As you know," he said, "the kingdom was mine. All Israel looked to me as their king, but things changed. And the kingdom has gone to my brother, for it has come to him from the Lord. Now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me." "You may make it," she said. So he continued, "Please ask King Solomon, he will not refuse you, to give me Abishag the Shunammite as my wife." "Very well," Bathsheba replied, "I will speak to the king for you." When Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, the king stood up to meet her, bowed down to her, and sat down on his throne. He had a throne brought for the king's mother, and she sat down at his right hand. "I have one small request to make of you," she asked. "Do not refuse me." The king replied, "Make it, my mother, I will not refuse you." So she said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given in marriage to your brother Adonijah." King Solomon answered his mother, "Why do you request Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? You might as well request the kingdom for him. After all, he is my older brother. Yes, for him and for Abiathar the priest and Joab son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if Adonijah does not pay for this with his life for this request. And now, as surely as the Lord lives, he who has established me securely on the throne of my father David and has founded a dynasty for me as he has promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today." So King Solomon gave orders to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he struck down Adonijah, and he died. That's the reading of God's word this morning from 1 Kings chapter 2. Once again this morning, as we did last week, we deal with that same question: was this vengeance or justice? There are some commentators who say that this is an act of Solomon's vengeance. The throne has been established. Solomon does not need to do this to his very own brother. Solomon doesn't even listen to his own mother who goes to talk to him. And what is so bad about this request, allowing him to marry Abishag, who tended his father and who was still yet a virgin? How could Solomon reject such a request in such anger and order such a ruthless killing? But before we are too hard on King Solomon, it is important that we take a careful look at our text and the context of the scripture reading we had this morning. You remember from chapter 1 of 1 Kings that Adonijah in verse 5 has put himself forward to be the next king. His father David is not acting as king. He lies in bed. Adonijah uses this opportunity to put himself forward in chapter 1, verse 5, to declare himself king and to ride around the city with chariots and horses and 50 men running in front of him. Adonijah parallels Absalom, 2 Samuel 15, verse 1. In verse 6 of chapter 1, we're told that Adonijah's father had never interfered with him, that's King David, by asking, "Why do you behave as you do?" Just like he handled Absalom. At the end of verse 6, we're told that Adonijah was very handsome and was born next after Absalom, just like Absalom was handsome. 2 Samuel 14:25. In verse 9, we're told that Adonijah sacrificed sheep and cattle and fattened calves at the stone of Zoheleth in Rogel and invited some of the royal officials to see his confirmation as king of Israel, just as Absalom made sacrifices. 2 Samuel 15, verse 12. David hears what's going on. David, in chapter 1 of 1 Kings, decides that Solomon is king based on the oath he has sworn before God and that God has sworn to him. So Solomon takes the throne. Adonijah runs from Solomon and Solomon's men, and he takes hold of the horns of the altar. And chapter 1 ends with Adonijah pleading for his life, Solomon granting that plea, and Adonijah coming and bowing down to Solomon, and Solomon saying, "Go to your home." Absalom did that. At the end of chapter 14, after Absalom has killed his brother Amnon, he has been banished from Israel and he goes back to King David before the king and he gets on his knees and he bows before the king at the end of 2 Samuel 14. But there is no love from Absalom for the king. At the end of chapter 1, Adonijah comes and bows before King Solomon, but there is no indication that he loves the king. You see, chapter 1 portrays Adonijah as a mirror of Absalom, as a mirror of what happened to King David as he tried to deal with his son Absalom and his failures to deal with Absalom. But now Adonijah, who has pleaded for his life, of whom Solomon replied to his plea, verse 52 of chapter 1, "If he shows himself to be a worthy man, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, but if evil is found in him, he will die." Adonijah has been granted time. Adonijah has been granted his plea. Solomon allows him to live. But Adonijah, like Absalom, is not done. In fact, Adonijah uses the same strategy as Absalom. He appeals to flesh and blood. If you look at our text, you will notice carefully how many times the reference to a family member is used. In the first verse, verse 13, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, went to Bathsheba. Who's Bathsheba? Solomon's mother. He doesn't go directly to the king. He goes to the mother of the king. And throughout the story, his plea is concerning his brother. Verse 15, "As you know, the kingdom was mine. All Israel looked to me as their king, but things changed and the kingdom has gone to my brother." Solomon's mother is willing to listen to the king. And we're told that she will go speak with King Solomon. And we're told very specifically about the honored place she has in the sight of her son, King Solomon. At the end of 19, he had a throne brought for the king's mother. And she sat down at his right hand. When she makes her request at the beginning of verse 20, he responds, "Make it my mother. I will not refuse you." She tells him, verse 21, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given in marriage to your brother Adonijah." This whole text is about a family affair. It is about Adonijah's plea that he is the brother of Solomon. It is about Adonijah's going to the mother of Solomon. It is about his appeal based on family that he marry the former companion of his father, David, Abishag the Shunammite. It is all about family in this passage. It is all about an appeal to family. And we wait to see if Solomon will hear these pleas and respond in a positive way to Adonijah's request based on his mother's plea. But you see this morning that Solomon doesn't fall for it. Is this vengeance or is this justice? If you look in your outlines this morning, you will notice that there is a parallel structure here. A parallel structure that takes place in our text. And in that parallel structure, you see that Adonijah's plea is working on Bathsheba. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, we're not sure, but it's clear that a parallel is shown to show that Adonijah's plan is working. In verse 16, we're told that Adonijah tells Bathsheba, "Now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me." And she said, "Make it." Verse 17, "He will not refuse you." What's the request? "Let him give Abishag the Shunammite as my wife." And Bathsheba complies with the request. The parallel language shows in verses 20 through 22 almost exactly the same words, the same phrases, to the very point. "I have one request to make of you," Bathsheba said. "Do not refuse me. Make it my mother. I will not refuse you. Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah as his wife." But there's one difference. Bathsheba goes for the plea, word for word, almost exactly as Adonijah has said it. Bathsheba complies, but Solomon does not comply. In verse 22, we're told that Solomon answered his mother, "Why do you request Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? You might as well request the kingdom for him. After all, he is my older brother. Yes, for him and for Abiathar the priest and Joab son of Zeruiah." Solomon sees the connection. He sees that this isn't just some family affair. He sees that Adonijah has an intention. Adonijah wants to marry Abishag because he wants a further claim to the throne. In chapter 1, it was Abiathar that joined Adonijah. It was Joab that joined Adonijah. Yet David made Solomon king. And though Absalom can go to King David and plead that he is King David's son, though he can plead that, "Yes, he killed Amnon, but what did Amnon do to my sister?" Though Absalom can plea and manipulate and work his way in and cause a rebellion against the king and go his own way and take the focus away from God's king and put it on himself, Adonijah does not get away with it. Why? King David in his life demonstrates not only the power of God to conquer his enemies, but he demonstrates the humiliation of God in fleeing from King Saul in his suffering, in fleeing from his son Absalom having to leave the city of Jerusalem. But King Solomon, the next king, is demonstrating the justice of God that David failed to display. The reason Absalom can do what he does is because in chapter 15, David is not sitting at the gate of the city acting as judge. Absalom comes forward and says, "Look, listen to me. If I were king, I would allow you to do this. I would rule in your favor." He earns the popularity of the people by his actions, by taking action as judge in David's failure to act as judge. But with the next king, with this next king, Solomon, justice will be done. He sees through the family affair. He sees through manipulations. He understands the mirror understanding of Adonijah and his connection with what Absalom once did. And Solomon puts a stop to it. You see, all through Solomon's reign, you will see him as the king of justice. Solomon in chapter 3 is known throughout the world for his wise ruling concerning the mothers of which mother would be the mother of the one child, and his solution to have them cut the child in half to find the true mother. We're told later in chapter 7 that Solomon has in his palace, chapter 7, verse 7, a throne hall, the hall of justice where he is to judge. And he covered it with cedar from floor to ceiling. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 10 that as the queen of Sheba comes to visit Solomon, she describes her visit and her praise to God in chapter 10, verse 9 this way: "Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." King Solomon follows the reign of David as a king of justice. King Solomon is not going to fall for the manipulations of Adonijah or even his efforts to go through his very own mother. King Solomon sees what's going on, and he does not fall for it. In fact, he declares an oath that Adonijah will pay for this with his life. But why? Does the text leave us with an empty reason? Does the text give us any indication on what basis that Solomon would build his case on for Adonijah being put to death? It does, verse 24. "And now, as surely as the Lord lives, he who has established me securely on the throne of my father David and has founded a dynasty for me as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today." Solomon's justice is based on the promise of God. This is the promise of God that God made to David in 2 Samuel 7. This is the promise of God that God had made to David and Bathsheba on the day that Solomon was born, when it said that the Lord loved him. This is the basis upon which God, through David, charged Solomon at the very beginning of this chapter that Solomon is the king of God's promise, God's dynasty, God's choice. And those who are under his reign must love that king. In last week's sermon, the first part of this chapter, we looked at the three men mentioned by David on his deathbed. There was Joab, who clearly by his actions, by joining with Adonijah, did not love the king, and David told Solomon to put him to death. There was Shimei, who had called down curses upon the king, and David had granted him life, but now David tells Solomon, "He does not love me, put him to death." But Barzillai is also mentioned. And the difference between Barzillai and Joab and Shimei is that Barzillai loves the king. He loved the king as he fled from Absalom. He loved the king in his point of humiliation and weakness. He loved the king because he knew that this king was the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, of God's plan of salvation that he would give to Israel. It doesn't matter how good looking Absalom is. It doesn't matter how many people Absalom has to join him. It doesn't matter that he rides around with chariots and horses and 50 men running in front of him. It doesn't matter that he's handsome. Absalom is not God's king. Barzillai knew that even David, who fled Jerusalem barefoot, who comes across the Jordan River hungry and tired, vulnerable and weak, he is God's king, and he honors him. Adonijah, as he goes to Bathsheba, verse 15, what does he say? "As you know, the kingdom was mine." What is he saying? The kingdom was mine because people liked me, because people followed me, because I got them to follow me? All Israel looked to me as their king. That's something that he did, not God. But things changed. And the kingdom has gone to my brother, poor Adonijah. But he does give a reason, doesn't he? "For it has come to him from the Lord." If Adonijah had truly believed that, he would not make this request. If there wasn't something wrong with this request, Adonijah wouldn't go to the mother of the king. He would have went to the king himself. Adonijah does not love the king. Adonijah does not love the throne of his father David that has founded a dynasty that is built on the promise, that is built on God's choice, not on how good looking you are or your 50 men who run in front of you or how many people you can get on your side like Joab and Abiathar. This is a kingdom built on God's promise. This is a kingdom built upon those who love the king that God has appointed to serve and to lead. And this new king is a king of justice who does not fall for manipulations or appeals to family or how good looking you might be, but he deals with Adonijah as God would deal with Adonijah. King Solomon in verse 25 gave orders to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he struck down Adonijah and he died. David instructs Solomon at the beginning of the chapter to be a king of justice, to bring about justice in areas that David failed. David gives to Adonijah a standard upon which to judge those who love God's king and those who don't. Solomon fulfills the plan, the instructions. Adonijah does not love the king. He threatens the king. Adonijah is put to death. We see in King David and his humiliation, we see in Solomon and his justice. A picture of the future. A picture of the fulfillment of one true king who demonstrates suffering, who demonstrates justice. In fact, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9 foreshadows this prophecy, this understanding. For in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Solomon's name means peace. "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. For the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The Lord Jesus and his life here on this earth is the fulfillment of what we see this morning in King David and Solomon. We saw in the life of King David the power that God had bestowed upon him, the power to conquer the enemies of God, to lead Israel to victory. We saw in King David, especially at the end of his life, the suffering, the humiliation. We see in 1 Kings 10 his helplessness, his failure to deal with justice. The Lord Jesus Christ conquered God's enemies. He did miracles. He drove out demons. He suffered on the cross and he died. And he returns with justice. King Solomon is the king of justice and righteousness. He sits on the throne. He has his mother on his right hand. He sits on that throne as a just and righteous king, of whom the Queen of Sheba even comes to see and verbally expresses. The Lord Jesus Christ will return as a king of justice. We're told in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Solomon could tell the difference between which mother was the true mother and which mother was not the true mother of that child. He could separate people from one side to the other, as the Lord Jesus will do when he returns. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit.' He will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.'" What is the basis of his justice? Love for the king. Those who love the king are granted his grace, his mercy, his deliverance, are declared just and righteous, those who do not love the king are cursed. And he, when he returns, will separate people one from the other. You say to yourself this morning, Adonijah is trying, isn't he? As Absalom went before King David, he could manipulate things. He could get away with his sins, with the wrongs he could commit. He could plead. He could appeal to family. He could escape. Adonijah can't, because he stands before a different king, a king of justice. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Solomon and his justice. And though he came to earth in power and humility like David, he returns to earth someday with justice. There is no hiding or manipulating this king. He separates the sheep from the goats. You cannot appeal to his mother Mary to pray for you or influence him. You cannot appeal to family or who you related to. You cannot try to manipulate requests and things so you can get away with things. The King of Kings sees through it. He knows justice. He knows righteousness. He knows, as Matthew 25 tells us, who loves him and who doesn't. Solomon sees this. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfills this. May you base your life not on your own ambitions, not on glory for yourself, but may your life be based on your love for the King. May it be upon those promises of God made long ago to Abraham and fulfilled even greater through David and to complete fulfillment in the Son of David, Jesus Christ. May you find your salvation in him, as Jesus tells you in Matthew 25, by serving him. And how do you serve him? By the way you serve others. By the way you serve his church and his people. Because when you demonstrate that, the love for him that you have in your heart comes to expression as you love his people and others. This morning you stand before the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. He is the King of righteousness and justice. King Solomon is not out this morning for vengeance, but justice. As you love the King, his mercy, his righteous justice is given to you. Don't hide. Love him with all your heart. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this story of Adonijah, for the foreshadowing that we see of our true King, Jesus Christ. And oh Lord, when we look at our own lives, we see times that we try to hide, that we try to get away with things in our sins, where we think that if we can manipulate others, we've gotten away with it, and it's okay. But Lord, we recognize that one greater than Solomon has come, that he sits on the throne of justice, that someday we will stand before Him, and that the standard of justice is our love for Him and His death on the cross. May You work in us that we love Him more and more each day. May You work in us that we not seek to hide or to get away with things. For we know that when He returns, all things will come to light and there is no hiding. May You cause us to turn to Him. May You cause us to repent of the things that we do that show we do not love Him. May You work in us by Your Spirit to love Him more and more each day, that it may be demonstrated to those around us in our lives that love Him too. Grant us Your grace. Grant us Your mercy. Grant us confidence that as we stand before that throne with our love for You in our hearts, we have eternal life forever in His kingdom evermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.